The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Amen. Every Sunday morning, God blesses us to have guests and visitors, and certainly on this Sunday, it is no different. If you are our guest, whether of long time or not at all, we want you to stand now and we'll say hello to you, and hopefully someone has already greeted you. The ushers have some additional information, a copy of our devotional, quarterly devotional that God has blessed us to continue to print for a number of years now. And so, again, if you feel so led of the Spirit, we won't put you on the spot any more than that. As a matter of fact, not long after you stand, we will stand with you. Amen. Is there one? Will there be one? Amen. I want to give you just a moment, just in case you didn't hear. I want to ask that you would mark your Bibles for the book of Matthew, chapter 14, is from which I'll read. But then I want you to also mark your Bible, whatever, or your device that you have, for Mark chapter 6, for the passage of Scripture that we'll be reading is also, the account is found in two other places of the Bible. Mark 6, starting with the 45th verse, as well as John chapter 6, amen, starting with the 16th verse. If you're physically able, I'm going to ask that you would please stand for the reading of the word. This morning I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. I'll be reading from the... And remember that whenever I start out with a translation, typically when I reference the rest of the scriptures throughout, I try to stick with that translation so as not to confuse you too much. But every now and then, if I switch up, I'll let you know. And just recognize that it may read differently than yours. It's truly if you're reading from the King James, the New King James. But rest assured, I am in the Word of God. Amen. Matthew 14, starting with the 22nd verse, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." My brothers and my sisters, for just a little while on this January the 8th, 2017, we want to consider this as our subject. God will use unusual circumstances to bring us to a greater level. God will use unusual circumstances to bring us to a greater level. You may be seated in the presence of our God. We are only, and I made reference to this earlier, we are only eight days into the new year. And there are already some people who are actually already saying that I can't wait until next year. Now, whether that's you yourself, I'd imagine you probably already heard it or saw somebody post it or text it or whatever the case may be. And they're already saying, I can't wait until next year. While the bulk of the people still might be trying to level set and reset and renew and restart and refocus, trying to stick to their New Year's resolutions, having made up their mind that this is their year. They've decided, as have I don't know about you, but I've decided myself, that 2017 is going to be a year of unparalleled success, personal breakthrough, and fulfilled purpose and promise. As a matter of fact, my brothers and my sisters, we started out the year talking about some resolutions, really some commitments that we all need to make and stick to this year, that will have a far, far greater impact and significance in our lives than talking about some of this other stuff that we say we're going to cut back on, talking about you're going to cut back on your sugar. Talking about I'm cutting back on smoking and cussing. Come on, somebody. Now, notice I didn't put words in your mouth and say y'all going to cut back on y'all libations. Y'all still ain't saying the church covenant. Come on, somebody. And wow, I don't drink, I don't drink, and it has nothing to do with the church covenant. Brother Allen, they tell me that wine is still cheaper than therapy. Come on, somebody. That's what they tell me. I don't know. I mean, every now and then, it's only the eighth day, and some of y'all done already said, child, I need a... Now, if you weren't here on last week to hear what those commitments are, please see our audio ministry for a CD. But how many of you know that just because the calendar has changed, that just because it's a new year and the new year has come, that even with your resolutions, it does not mean that storms of your life are going to stop coming? Once saw a Charlie Brown comic strip of him having built a beautiful sandcastle, which he had worked on for hours. Finally, he stands back and he looks at it, and it was a wonderful thing, and he was standing back and he was admiring it, and suddenly a storm came up and it blew the sandcastle over, and now he's standing where his beautiful masterpiece was. Brother Griffith, it was now level on the sand. Charlie Brown stood there looking at a sandcastle that had been blown over. He says to himself, I know there's a lesson in this, but I'm not sure what it is. My brothers and my sisters, every one of us has one, either had or will have, one or more of our sandcastles blown away. And every once in a while, we're going to back up and we're going to ask ourselves, why am I being hit with this storm of life? Now, I need to tell somebody that sometimes these storms are caused by the devil himself. Amen. But I need to teach you and let you know that, yes, the devil can and will cause storms. But the devil is not omnipresent and the devil is not omniscient. In other words, the devil can't be everywhere at the same time and he can't know everything that he needs to do to get next to you. Amen. So in other words, he cannot cause every storm. Amen. 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 Well, understand, if he can't cause every storm everywhere at the same time, how do you know, Pastor King? I know, because he's not that powerful. He's not that powerful. But what that tells me, Brother Byron, is that then if the devil can't cause every storm, and you know we blame everything on the devil. But since he can cause every storm, that tells me then that sometimes storms come from other sources. Amen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they come from other sources, and sometimes the storms in our lives can be caused by other people. And it just might be that the storm that might be a part of your life, the other people might just be you. Amen. We might be the cause of some of the storms in our own lives. Of course, sometimes the storm might be caused or even allowed by God himself. Ah, but Sister Stephanie, regardless of the source of the storm, the point I want to stress to you right now is that every storm has a purpose in our lives. I hear you. Somebody's already saying, well, I hear you, Pastor King, and that's a good note to take, but you don't know what I'm dealing with right now. You don't know what I'm dealing with already. 8 days into the new year, I mean, this stuff I'm dealing with is crazy. As a matter of fact, you know how y'all talking. Matter of fact, some of y'all said, this stuff I'm dealing with is some bull. Oh. Now y'all watch your mouth. Y'all in church. And some of y'all need to watch your mouth out of church too. Come on, somebody. Amen. But while I might not know what you're dealing with, and while I might not know what you're really going through, I do know, amen, I do know that storms of life can reveal some stuff, and that the storms of life will reveal some stuff, and they'll reveal some of the following things. If you are in a storm or on your way into a storm, you best believe storms are going to reveal the nature of our faith. A storm will reveal the nature of your faith. You see, it's all right to say that everything is going to be all right when you got money in the bank. And if your faith is in your savings account, when the savings account goes dry, the other thing is that a storm will reveal the strength of our commitment. My God. Yeah. It's easy to keep on keeping on when stuff is smooth. But when stuff gets a little rocky, when stuff gets a little rough sometimes, you got to ask yourself, where is your commitment? Another thing is it will reveal the level of your maturity. Folk act grown until some stuff start going on in your life. Amen. Another thing a storm will do is reveal the healthiness of your attitude. Y'all don't hear me in here. Good to have you can have a good attitude when stuff is good. When relationships good. When the money's good. When the job is good, when your health is good, but when stuff's not good, there went your attitude. Last thing I want to tell you is that a storm will reveal the measure of our teachability. God Almighty. I know it goes without saying that God's ways are not our ways. I know. But don't you find it amazing that God's dealings with mankind can cause you to wonder, but it can also cause you to stand in wonder. For in today's text, we find God using a storm to bring his disciples to a greater level. God Almighty. I mean, those who expect to grow should expect storms and difficulties. I believe, Deacon Fitzgerald, that's why some folk don't want to go any further than what they have. They don't want to do any more than what they've done. They don't want things to try to get any better. They don't want to grow. Why? Because they know that if I want to grow, then I need to expect some storms and some difficulties. Do me a favor and turn to your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, nobody can climb a smooth mountain. Did you see that? Huh? They didn't believe you. Tell somebody else. Tell them, neighbor, nobody can climb a smooth mountain. Fact of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, everybody, and I mean everybody, I don't care where you sit, what your suit looks like, or how big your hat. Come on, somebody. Everybody has storms. In fact, for many of you here under the sound of my voice, perhaps you are in probably one of the worst storms of your life right now. But what I want you to realize, I'm talking to somebody, I know who I'm talking to, but I want you to realize that everybody has them. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus himself said he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Amen. So you can see. Storms, my brothers and my sisters, problems, difficulties, trials, come to everybody. There are no exclusions. And just because you're a believer, just because you came to church today and somebody else didn't, come on, somebody, just because you one of them type people that wants to tell other people how you cross, how you dot every I and cross every T, does not mean that even you are going to be excluded from storms. As a matter of fact, that brings me to my first point found here in Matthew 14, 22 through 25, verse 8. The first point I want to make is that obedience will not stop the storms from coming. It won't stop the storms from coming. Let me read it again. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go out ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside to pray. It says, later that night, he was there alone. And then shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to him because the boat was being buffeted. Number one, I need you to see that Jesus sent the disciples into the storm. Or if you want to look at it, he sent the storms to the disciples. Huh? I want you to see that. And he sent it to them after they had sailed for a little while. My God. The text said that later that night, the boat was already a considerable distance being buffeted by the waves. And then it was shortly before dawn that Jesus went out to him. The count over in John chapter 6 says that they had been rowing for about 3 to 4 miles. The reason I need to make that point is that every now and then, Jesus will send a storm your way. And just because you're in a storm don't mean that he's going to come and get you immediately. But that brings me to my second point, because sometimes we get in a storm and we don't think anybody knows and nobody cares. No, the second point I need to show you is that Jesus actually sees you in the storm. Amen. Over in Mark chapter 6, turn there real quick. Mark chapter 6, I want you to see it, verse 47 and 48a. The Bible says that the boat was in the middle of the lake. He was alone on land. And verse 48 says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. You see, I had to walk through all three of these passages to tell this account, because everybody's got a little different detail. Come on, somebody, that they want to tell. First thing I need to say, the Bible says he saw them from the mountain. What does that tell you? Tell me, Pastor King. That means he saw him from a great distance. And he not only saw him from a great distance, Keeling, he watched them struggle. Need to tell somebody Jesus not only cares, he knows. Matter of fact, he's watching. But you need to go through the struggle knowing that there's a purpose. Amen. The Bible says that he watched them from the mountain. He was afar off. And he watched them struggle, which brings me to my third point, is not only will he see us in the storm, Jesus will show up when the storm is at its worst. God Almighty. I'm still in the text. Mark chapter 6, verse 48b says, because the wind was against them, it says, shortly before dawn, he went out walking on the lake. In other words, he came out when the wind was the most boisterous. See, some of y'all crying, the wind ain't blowing yet really hard. Y'all just in a breeze. Come on, somebody. We struggling, we crying and all that. He said, no, you really are not in the storm. You just mad because you got a little irritation. That's all that is. He said, but the Bible says he came when the wind was boisterous. And wait a minute, he came when the disciples had exhausted all their resources. In other words, they had to put up an effort. God said, listen, y'all want me to do everything. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't even praying. Somebody under the sound of my voice has stopped praying. And not only have you stopped praying, you stopped believing that prayers are going to even be answered. Amen. Came when they had exhausted their resources. If you can't do anything more or less, then pray. Then he came to them when they were at their extremity. Every now and then, God needs us to get to the end of ourselves. We're still trying to help God out too much. We're still trying to do, sometimes what I do, give God too many good suggestions. I've given him some real good suggestions. He said, King, when you stop giving me suggestions, I'll start working. Which takes me to my fourth point. You in the middle of a storm. I just told you that Jesus sees you in the storm. Every now and then, some storms he'll send you into. He'll show up when the storm is at its worst. But in the middle of that, in the midst of him coming, we're going to have to weather the storm until Jesus comes. In other words, I need to tell somebody, you keep on sailing. You keep trying to dip the water out of your boat, and you keep on moving some weight around. Amen. Amen. Because you need to know that God knows exactly where you are. If you need to rob Peter to pay Paul, you do that to keep your lights on. Amen. Amen. If you need to cut back on Porterhouse and get you some ham and lunch meat and bread, then you do that. You make sure everybody eats in the house. Come on, somebody. And if necessary, you go ahead and go to the cupboard and get you out a pack of beans, some ham hock. Uh-oh, y'all don't eat pork. Get your turkey leg or something and make you a pot of beans. Jiffy is all, there's only 50 cents a box. It used to be a quarter. Come on, somebody. And you make you a meal to stretch it all week long. When somebody asks you what you had to eat, don't be ashamed. When somebody say what you have for dinner, don't be ashamed. Say, a good meal. For too long, we're trying to fake it to make it. Even when it comes to our finances. We got too many folk who are renting their lifestyles and they don't own their lives. So stop it. Stop renting your lifestyle and start owning your life. Listen, we got to make sure that we are weathering the storms. You fussing because they done cut back your hours. Fussing because no longer can you work overtime. How in the world did you move your lifestyle to overtime? You're mad mad because you said they won't give you any more hours, they won't give you a raise and all this. You want to give yourself the biggest raise, cut back on your expenses first. Amen. I can teach you that. Cut back on your expenses first. You'll give yourself a bigger raise cutting back on cable than you will working an extra 10 hours, $10 an hour, because after the taxes come out, the gas, you tie it to put in 10 extra hours at $10 an hour for $100. Cut back on cable. Which brings me to my next point. I know you're worried. I know you're concerned, and I know you're trying to figure out if God really cares and if he's going to come help you. Well, we already showed he's going to come to meet you in the storm. Turn to the book of John real quick. John chapter 6, 18. John chapter 6, starting with the 18th verse. When you get there, you're going to find it says, a strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, there's that extra detail, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Verse 21 says, then they were willing to take him into the boat, and watch this, and immediately the boat reached the shore. God Almighty, you got to, oh Jesus, that'll preach right there. It says, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. That brings me to my point. Jesus would get your boat ashore in a hurry. God can bring us quicker than any human means can. God can move us even without the use of resources or time. In other words, it's in an instant. God can move us from difficulty to destiny. But if you give up too soon, you will cut your blessings short. If you give up too soon, he said, don't give up on God. You can give up on folk because folk gave up on you, but don't you give up on God, because only God himself can move you from difficulty to destiny. But quit trying to reach the next level riding in an escalator or on an elevator. Sometimes you're going to have to do what we refuse to do on our job and takes the stairs. I need to say that even on the 8th day, as I was asking God this week, Lord, what would you have me to say on this week? Even me, all of us have some stuff we're going through. Mental, physical, financial, hearts and minds went out. Keep hearing the news about these stores shutting down. You fussing because your Macy's store might shut down. You got to go further up the street. But somebody might be losing their job. 10,000 plus folk. Hundreds of stores shutting down. Limited, the entire operation shutting down. Sears and Kmart shutting down jobs. Cutting back. JCPenney was an announcement. I work in the area of Wanted Hills, and I was just getting to notice that the Kroger building in Wanted Hills around McMillan is going to shut down. While I might be trying to figure out where I'm going to get lunch, there's some folks saying, where am I going to get dinner and food to eat? Stuff going on in the world. Man gets on a plane leaving Alaska, flying to Fort Lauderdale with a gun in his handbag that they let him through and said, it's okay. He loads the gun on the other side, and whatever he got going on, somebody didn't make it home that day. Prayed for a safe plane ride. They got that. Landed. They got that. But when they landed, it's stuff happening already in the new year. We already complaining, fussing. God is saying, I know where you are. First of all, you trying to get where you're going, and I ain't in your boat. You got all these other folk in your boat. The Bible says here in John, it says they were willing to take him into the boat. Amen. Immediately the boat reached the shore. Need to take you back as I get ready to close. Need to take you back to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, starting with the 30th verse. I want to show you something here because we've all been there. Matter of fact, we're probably there now. Matthew 14, starting with the 30th verse. Of course, you remember that scene about when Jesus had called Peter at the boat. It says, then Peter got down out the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. In beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Verse 31 says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. That brings me to one of my final points, is that our cry will cause God to extend his hand. God Almighty. That's why every now and then you can't be so silent in church. God wants to hear our cry. He wants to hear our praise. He wants to hear our adoration. Because if he can hear that, not only will he set up and dwell, he'll extend his hand. You ain't got to sing because you happy. You can sing because I need the Lord to hear my cry, to pity my every groan, so he can extend his hand. Amen. Peter began to sink. The reason he began to sink is because Deacon Brown, he allowed his situation, he allowed his circumstance, he allowed his condition to suppress his faith. And if you're not careful, you can suppress, have your faith suppressed, which will suppress your worship. He began to sink because he allowed his situation, his circumstance, and his condition to suppress his faith. This is the same one who actually did what we all should do. Before anybody calls you to do anything, make sure it's Jesus is the one doing the calling. I don't care if it's preaching or pastoring. I don't care if it's deaconing. I don't care if it's trusteeing, ushering. I don't care if it's just coming to the church. Make sure that before you answer the call by somebody else, it's Jesus doing the one to call him. Ladies, make sure before you answer that text and they want to know what you're doing, you better talk to Jesus. Fellas, I'm talking to you too. Hey, now, you better talk to Jesus. And if they saying come, you better talk to the Lord. And if he ain't saying come, you better not go there. But when he does say step out on faith, then you walk in faith. Don't do what Peter did. Take his eyes off Jesus. Tell you another text when he did it again. You remember that text when he was talking to Jesus? Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. I asked him again, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And he asked him three times. Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love me. Feed my sheep. This was after the water. Then at some point, the Bible says that Peter turned around and he looked at the one called John. And he said, well, what about John? Well, once again, Peter took his eyes off Jesus. God can save you from a situation, and now he wants to talk to you and where you are right now, and you still have forgotten who God is. Because now you're worried about what so-and-so is doing. Peter said, I hear you, but what about John? And Jesus said, listen, if John lives until I come back again, that ain't your business. That ain't got nothing to do with you. You do what I told you to do. We all need to make sure we stop taking our eyes off God. do it too much. But can I tell you that your storm will cease when Jesus enters into your situation? God can and God will bring us to a greater level of peace. He'll bring us to a greater understanding of divine dealings, and he'll bring us to a greater level of faith. For the child of God, listen, listen, listen. You and I must not allow the storms of life's boat to fill it up with fear. We must be discerning enough to know that God can and God will sometimes use storms to bring us to higher and greater level. The sun shines, but the sun burns. The rain wets, but only the wind can move some stuff. Y'all didn't catch that. The sun will burn. Rain wets, but only the wind will move some stuff. And every now and then, we need some wind. Come on, somebody. To come and blow. God Almighty, we need the wind to come and blow some stuff that's been stationary, that's been stuck, that's done got dusty, that has become unmovable. We haven't moved it, so God says, I need to send some wind to come and blow some stuff around in your life because it's been causing you too much distress. Stagnant, stationary, stuck. Just like on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the wind came as a mighty rushing. I need some Bible readers in here. Amen. Mighty rushing wind. When wind comes blowing that hard, you ain't going to stay stationary. It's going to come move some stuff. Amen. But just as the wind can move us, it's God himself who can move the wind. And he's also the only one who can rebuke the wind and the wave. And at a moment's time, know when to speak to the wind. Come on, somebody. And say, peace. Be still. That's my child. Peace. Be still. I love him. I love her. Peace. Be still. But that only takes God. It's the only one who can cause the wind to cease and be still in your life. Yes, I might not know what's going on in your life. And that's all right. I don't need to know. I got enough I'm dealing with on my own. But I do know that storms, and all of us go through storms, are going to reveal some things about us, and they probably might be revealing them right now. That's why some folks say the one who sits with you in church is not the one I sit with at home. Make sure that your language is the same out of church as it is in church. And some of us need to have a hallelujah language even in church. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Because you need to know that God still can, and he still is the only one who can do anything but fail. But storms of life will reveal the nature of our faith, the strength of our commitment, the level of our maturity, the healthiness of our attitude, and the measure of our teachability. Write this question down. What have I or do I learn from the storms of my life? What have I or do I learn from the storms of my life? God will use unusual circumstances to bring us to a greater level. The doors of church open. Amen. That's going to help somebody with their resolutions this year.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.